We never know how to start these.
You know.
Now we have begun.
Here we are.
Welcome back to Smell You Later, the only podcast about scents.
Yeah,
and smells.
Hell yeah, the only podcast about scents and smells. Say that again.
That we know.
Well, no,
of.
We've done some very light research. I think it's safe to say we're the only ones, and if we're not, we're the best. So
I've totally been stuck inside for the past 3 days because of this.
Oh my
blizzard.
God, it is so snowy.
Yeah, it's real snowy out there, and I keep thinking like, oh, I guess I could go outside, and then I just look out my window and there's all these like people doing that dance when you can't cross the street because like there's a bank of snow in the crosswalk.
Oh my God, right?
I hate that. So I was like, you know what, I don't need anything. I'm
listen
all right.
I'm from the Midwest. I spent 8 years in Wisconsin. I know about a lot of snow. Even this to me, I'm like, this is something else.
This isn't that bad.
It's not that good. Do you know what I did on this weekend?
What did you do?
So coming off of our dupe episode, this is not a dupe. Like, two fragrances can smell similar without being dupes. But I think I've mentioned that friend of the pod, Karen Nesvig, has always said that my favorite fragrance, 1996 by Byredo, smells identical to Fancy Nights by Jessica Simpson.
Oh.
So I finally tracked down a new bottle online and I purchased it. It is not here yet, but I cannot wait for it to come because she's been telling me this for like 3 or 4 years and I'm finally just like,
where did they even sell that?
I think just like fragrance.net or something. And it was a tester, which I thought meant like had been on the counters and was half gone, you know, which like was fine, I guess, but it's a full unused component. It's just not in the saleable carton. So it's probably going to come in a white box, which is even better.
Which is fine. I've bought a tester like that before and it was totally fine. It looked the same. I was like, what are you talking about?
Same shit.
Yeah.
So excited. You're going through a Lolita Lempicka phase. I'm about to go through a Jessica Simpson phase. It all makes sense.
How many fragrances does she
has a
have?
Couple.
Like,
I know. She's no like J-Lo or Mariah Carey, but she's got a few.
Wait, how many fragrances does Mariah carry?
She has like, she's like top three of the most. It's like J-Lo, Britney, and Mariah. And I think Mariah is above Britney. I could be wrong. I have to look that up. Actually,
I thought Celine Dion had the most fragrances.
Really? I don't. We'll do like a ranking. And by that, I mean look it up. Oh my God. You know what I also got? They're right here. I'm going to show you. What? They finally came. Ooh. And by finally, I mean they didn't take long at all. The Trojan fragrances.
Oh my God.
So they have one for...
Wait, how many are
there? They have one for men, one for women, and one for all, except I can only find one out of the three of them. Oh, my laptop is literally sitting on the other two because I wanted my angle to change. for men, for women, and for all. I have...
Have you smelled
them? I have taken a little sniff of the atomizer of the men. The other two are still wrapped up. And... you know, why don't we just wait till I wear them
we need to do a full give it the full.
I would hate to speak ill about any fragrance, but I should wear it first. Well,
you would never do that. But what do you smell like today?
So I smell like the brand new Killian Love Don't Be Shy Extreme.
Yes,
and I have a lot of thoughts and feelings. It might
sounds like a sports
come
drink.
As a total shock to you. So, Love Don't Be Shy was launched in 2007, but as you and I know, it like really blew up last year. I want to say in the past like 2 or 3 years, but it really picked up some steam last year because it is allegedly the fragrance that Rihanna wears. Now, I really want to track down where this little bit of knowledge came from because it's all just hearsay, but everyone has published it, which is fine. I mean, like, who cares? I'm just like, I want to know where it came from.
I think Killian himself has said it.
I thought Jackie Ina said it, the YouTuber. She did say it, but I thought it originated from her. Anyway, after everyone ran an article that was like, Rihanna's favorite fragrance, everyone bought it out. So it doesn't exactly shock me that there is suddenly another version of it for us to buy. Exactly. And I think, and I need to do a little homework here, but I think Love is the original. Then they did a couple, and Love Don't Be Shy is another version, not necessarily a flanker, but maybe. And then Love Don't Be Shy Extreme is definitely a flanker. So the difference between Love Don't Be Shy and Love Don't Be Shy Extreme is that for Extreme, they made it without the use of the caramel and patchouli note, and they enhanced it with a dose of Bulgarian rose. I'm just going to splice that together.
Of course. Bulgarian rose is like the romance note.
Right, right.
Usually. Well, rose in general.
And okay, so I feel some types of way about this. Number one, it's lovely. I mean, I love Love Don't Be Shy. It just smells like a cotton candy fog on a humid, misty summer night. It's so good. It's so sweet. It's so lovely. But when I first smelled it, I was like, oh, this is going to be too sweet for some people, which is fine. I mean, it is unapologetically sweet and lovely, but it's sweet and like musky and warm. So I don't find it cloying, but I definitely understand that if you are afraid of sweet scents, it's probably not for you. Fine. This to me is a response to that. Like the fragrance got really big, a very sweet fragrance gets really big. A lot of people say it's too sweet for me. So what do? You put out a version of it that is allegedly not as sweet, and you pull the caramel note and you put in a rose note. People love rose, right? It makes a lot of sense to me from like a marketing standpoint. What I will say is that even next to each other, like if you love Love Don't Be Shy, the OG, maybe don't run out and grab the Extreme, because while there are differences to it, they are small.
What's the price difference?
I don't think there's a price difference at all. So yeah, the differences are small. At the top, you have neroleum and bergamot. In the middle, you have Bulgarian rose and orange blossom. At the base, you have marshmallow, vanilla, musk, and pomegranate. To my nose, you do get a little bit more floral, and it does read as a little bit more like the actual texture of a rose petal. It's really sort of soft and lovely, but added to a fragrance that was already really sweet, really pink, really cloudy, really lovely. So I love it. It's not like, in my mind, hugely different. If I were to wear one or the other, I may, one, not recognize a difference, and two, probably go with just the original Love Don't Be Shy, which I love so much. But they're both beautiful. They're just not that much different to me. Does that make sense?
Fair enough. I wonder why they chose to call it Extreme.
Probably so...
if it wasn't, just a pumped up version, you know?
Yeah, to me, Extreme, to me, would be, instead of removing the caramel note and patchouli note, to like go harder on those instead of putting in another rose note, you know?
Yeah.
Because I guess it like lightens it up, but like only a bit. It's odd. It's good. It's odd. You don't need them both.
Yeah. I like Love Don't Be Shy. It is one of those scents that I like on its own, but I don't know if it's me. To me, Love Don't Be Shy is almost like an ill-fitting bra, because it's a very feminine scent. Yeah. And I say feminine in like the way of the construct, where it's very powdery and floral and soft and warm. And all I think about are like big old titties in a tight sweater. And I'm like, that's just not me. It's just not me.
I don't find it floral at all. I feel like it's like sugar for the sake of sugar, which I love. I mean, we all know I like a sweet scent, but it's like, I hate when a fragrance is like, we're going to be really sweet, but then we're going to cram a ton of lily in it for no reason. It's just like, no, this is just like sugar and fog to me. I love it.
Yeah. But you're right. It is like cotton candy. Yep. Yeah.
So it's nice.
But yeah. It is nice. Yeah. And well, now we know what Rihanna smells like. Yeah,
right. Until we have Fenty fragrances, which I'm sure are just around the corner.
Oh, they're definitely coming. She has released fragrances.
Yeah, she has a round of fragrances, but I'm sure they're going to be under her like Fenty empire now.
Fenty fragrance.
Yeah, it's right there. Sable, what do you smell like today?
Honestly, I have two different ones on both wrists, but I smell like Acro Haze and Acro Dark.
Okay, I've worn Haze. Wait, sorry. Can you start with by what Acro is? And I'm just going to say that I'm obsessed with it. Go on.
I'm also obsessed with it. It's a new to the U.S. They just launched in the U.S. I think they've been around in Europe for a little bit. It's a new fragrance collection, or fragrance brand, I should say. based on, there's six core fragrances in the collection, and they're all based on vices and indulgences. So it's all about like sex and smoking and drinking and weed and coffee and chocolate. I guess those were just the vices they chose that I guess had the most olfactory payoff. So I got their discovery set. It's just like six little vials. Everything is like matte black and kind of graffiti-esque. So it kind of read to me like streetwear or like that kind of like faux masculine type of branding. I don't know. But the scents themselves are incredibly exquisite and so complex and just very enjoy. It's like an experience just wearing them. It's so cool. And then I realized that the perfumer is Olivier Cresp, who did, he's like an OG MVP, most valuable perfumer. Yeah, he's done like a ton of hit scents. Terry Mugler, Angel. So yeah, he's, dude's been around. And the co-founders are Anais. I can never say that name. Anais? A-N-A-I-S.
You're asking the wrong bitch.
So the fragrance brand is with his daughter and her partner. And it's kind of based around their love story about how they met and just like, you know, hung out and partied and their experience falling in love, which is cool. But Haze is their interpretation of cannabis. And I will say I've smelled a number of cannabis scents and fragrances. And this is such a cool interpretation because it has the herbaceousness of weed, but it also has like a freshness to it that's... It like actually, I don't want to say it actually smells like weed, but it doesn't smell exactly like weed. But what it does smell like is like so reminiscent of that fresh herbaceousness of good weed, like good expensive weed, like that government shit. It smells like that good California weed that I've smelled. And I was like, oh, this is really good. And it wears, like when you wear it, you don't just, you know, smell like you smoked up. You kind of just smell like a really sexy
herb. Haze is really, really good. I'm not surprised, but like you said, there's so many different ways you can go with it. And Haze is like so pungent. Yes. It starts so pungent and then like just gets so like,
it's crispy. Crisp. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I feel like when people think cannabis, they just like put a shit ton of patchouli in it because like they want it to smell like hippies. And I'm like, no, dude. Like that's how I can tell you don't smoke weed because you made the scent. But this one has mint, absinthe, and eucalyptus, clary sage, leather, and patchouli in it. And it's just such a heavenly mix that smells so really fresh. Good. Yeah, it's awesome. And when it kind of wears down on my skin, it kind of, it gets warmer and a little bit earthier, but it still retains this kind of freshness to it. I don't know how to explain it, but it's real good. I also feel like scents that are like cannabis themed just kind of like do well, or they're just like popular because people are initially pulled in by like the taboo factor. They're like, oh, this smells like weed, let me see. I don't know, just my inkling. But my other wrist, which I sprayed dark is the chocolate based scent. It's based on like bittersweet cocoa, and at first I was like, oh, I don't want to smell like a dessert, but again, I know you do, like you would love this, but like it's surprisingly complex and it has this bitterness and this, I don't want to say woodiness, I don't know if that's correct. It's like warm, it's warm and spicy, the sweetness of chocolate, but then it has this bitterness as well that kind of grounds it. So it's not just super, super sweet. It has dark chocolate, cacao, hazelnut, cinnamon, and vanilla. Ugh,
I can't wait to get to that one.
It sounds like a candy bar. I guess just like the balance of the spice, I think really grounds it and it makes it much more complex. But I smell like a really expensive chocolate bar that's like 99% cacao. Yeah. You know, it's like super, super dark chocolate that's basically just cacao. It's so heavenly. And I love all of these.
I've only worn Haze and Smoke. And I think that's, I've only worn those two. I was going to start with Night, the ones that smells like sex. But I skirted it because of what you told me about it. So I want to approach that with caution.
Yeah, Night was a little pungent for me.
Smoke, the one that is supposed to smell like cigarettes, smells like very similar to Tom Ford, to Becco Vanille.
Ooh,
like yes. have you worn Smoke yet?
Yes, I it's have. Like, and I was like, it reminds me of something, and I couldn't put my finger on it.
I don't want to say it's a 1-to-1 because I think the difference is that Smoke leans harder into like a really pure vanilla note. Like it makes no qualms about being sweet, but the whole time I was like, this is good, but it's a little bit of a reference, which is fine. But I can't wait to smell my way through the rest of the Discovery scent. I have 4 scents waiting for me, so I'm very excited. And the Trojan scents.
Yeah, these are really, really cool. I almost feel like they should come as a set, almost. I mean, who's going to buy $600+ Yeah. Well, there's someone out here who might, but
I feel like they should have done 7. Because 7 is such a, like...
7 dead... Yeah. Yes! 7 dead...
Because, like, I'm sorry. Envy. Like, right. I'm sort of a sucker for the whole, like, vice thing. I know also that, like, I posted these on Insta, and people were like, sex isn't a vice. And I was like, okay, I didn't come up with the concept. Like, nowhere did I say this was my... Yeah. No, and I get it. I mean,
that's a good point. Neither
is chocolate. I don't know.
Yeah, I was curious on why they chose these, but then I just assumed it was because they had the most scent draw to them, you know? Because, like, one could say gambling is a vice.
But... Well, yeah. No, I really like it. I really like the concept. I think the scents that I've smelled so far are really, like you said, exquisite, so.
See, I always think the concept of vices to me is a little corny.
Yeah, totally.
And I think also that's just because I think it's always done, like, a bit over the top. It's, like, melodramatic and just over-dramatized, and it doesn't read as realistic to me. But then again, it's like, well, this isn't supposed to be realistic. Yeah. It's just...
The branding and like visuals and copy surrounding these does seem a little bit more like elevated to me. Like the way that they bring it to life is like not... I'm not going to say it's not corny, but it's doesn't feel like it's made by and for 14-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't know, some people like the smell of weed smoke or cigarette smoke, or, you know, it's like, that's okay too. There's a market for it. It's me.
I think a lot of people like this sort of concept.
Today on the show, we have Abigail Stone, the founder of Otherland Candles. If you don't know them by name, I'm sure you will know them by the way that they look. You've probably seen them on somebody's Instagram story, perhaps mine. They often come in a pack of 3. It's a long rectangle. And the secondary carton, like the box that it comes in, is an experience in itself, just the way that it's built, the way that it is unboxed. It's really, everything is thought out. It's really gorgeous. And when you get to the candles themselves, each component has a little bit of artwork on it, which is also really beautiful. And the scents themselves are fantastic. I think everything about the brand is really fun and exciting. The way that they drop seasonal collections is great. The way that they bring them to life on the screen that you're buying them from, since they are direct to consumer, it's all really easily digestible. It's all really fun and lightweight. I've been excited about the brand since they launched in 2017. I'm really excited about watching them grow. So we had kicked around getting them on the show for a while, and we finally have them.
I love when candles look cool and they're not just going for that fake Byredo kind of aesthetic. But then I'm always like, is this going to smell like a cartoon?
Yeah, that's true.
But these are super sophisticated, and the throw is impressive on these things. Yeah.
And I know that, like, I don't know, buying scents online is sort of a gamble for obvious reasons. But every Otherland scent that I have smelled has been really fantastic. And more importantly, pretty true to what they brought it to life, like on the screen before it got to my apartment. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this does read. This does make sense as well as it can. So yeah, they've got something good going on, and I'm excited to talk to Abigail.
Yeah. So we'll let Abigail take it away.
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Thanks for having me.
Can you just tell us a little bit about like the Otherland origin story and how it all sort of came to be from your perspective? And I would love to know about the Otherland name as well.
We're a new home fragrance brand. So we launched in 2017, and I've been mildly obsessed with candles and home scents for my whole life. And so I remember being a kid, and I think I had a babysitter who had Yankee candles, and she had chocolate frosting and then also a clean linen. And I just sort of became obsessed with them. And I said to my mom, you know, I want some candles. And she said, that's totally ridiculous. You're 10 years old. You know, you absolutely cannot have candles and those smell toxic anyway. So when I was in my 20s and, you know, graduated from college, was living in New York City, the first thing I got for my grown-up apartment was a candle. And I realized throughout my 20s, I was actually burning candles like every day. And it passed the so-called toothbrush test of everyday use for me as a product. And I talked to friends and I realized they were sort of having the same thing too. And in the morning when I'd wake up, I'd maybe do a meditation with the Headspace app and I'd light a candle. And at night after work, I'd come home exhausted, plop down on the couch, turn on the TV, we light a candle, and suddenly it's me time. And so I really just loved the power of candles to really transform your ambiance, your mood, and so forth. So I felt like there was a hole in the market. So on one end of the spectrum, you have the luxury brands. And I really love their scents. They're fresh and sophisticated, but they were so expensive that if you could even afford to buy one, you'd be like terrified to burn it. You know, like you're saving it for special occasions. And yeah. It becomes more of a decorative object. So that was one end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, the affordable brands, they had these, you know, artificial saccharine, cloyingly sweet scents, pumpkin pecan waffles, butter pecan streusel, blueberry streusel. And that just wasn't for me either. And so I felt like there was this white space in the middle where we could work with the same master perfumers as the expensive brands, but do it at a much more accessible price, and then also bring art into it. So art is really my background. And so I've had a lifelong love of art. I studied art history in college and then went on to work at Ralph Lauren, actually as an art buyer. So I've got to travel and buy the artwork to decorate their stores and showrooms. And that really taught me so much about, you know, they've created this incredible lifestyle experience. When you walk into any Ralph store, you're sort of in a movie on a movie set. It's very expressive and visually stimulating in that way. So I learned a lot about that there. So identified this white space in the market. We bring art into it. So we work with a different artist for every collection. And on our candles, there are all sorts of different surfaces, from the label to the glass, to the topper lid, to the packaging box, the matches, where the artwork and the story plays out. And that really allows us to sell to the customer online, for the customer to create an emotional connection without smelling the fragrance. And it allows us to really tell stories. So, you know, our candles, it's not just grapefruit or rose, but there's a whole backstory behind it, a concept, and they really come from a lot of sort of personal experiences and memories and visions that I've had, and scent, of course, being the strongest trigger of memory. And so similarly to our Carefree 1990s collection, so I guess some examples would be Match Point, which is from our summer beach club collection. It smells like tennis ball, cut grass, and cucumber. And so this was inspired by my first job in New York City, which was as a ball girl at the US Open tennis tournament. So yeah, so this was, you know, I thought summer, gosh, what am I going to do for summer scents? And I said to the perfumers, you know, I challenge you, do you think you could do something elevated with the scent of tennis ball? And that's what they came back with. And by adding the grass and the cucumber, they mellow out the industrial rubber a little bit, but it still gets, I think, the point across. So anyway, I think the point is realizing that we could really use artwork to tell the story, and then combining it with high quality fragrance from the top perfumers. And we work with Givaudan and Firmenich, the fragrance houses. And then our candles are highly scented. So that was something that we figured out, that was, you know, people wonder what makes a good candle. And of course, there are a few people who want, are sensitive and don't want strong scents, but most people want it to be strong. They really want to, you know, have that scent hit you when you when you take the lid off for the cold throw and while you're burning it for the hot throw. So, so we put actually double the fragrance.
Wow.
So that's kind of, yeah, the background of
other ones. Do really have, they really project scent. That one kindling candle, it fills my whole
kindling apartment. is like super strong too, sort of naturally. But yeah, we work really hard to test it. And, you know, it's hard to exactly determine, you know, is it strong enough? Is it not? But we use scent booths and our bathrooms and rooms around the house and try to make sure that you're getting that powerful throw. And it's very sort of sciencey and molecular chemistry at that point.
Wow. Yeah.
Kindling is a great one. Kindling's from our core collection that we launched with in 2017. And I felt like, so we were going to launch with 5 scents and I had to select what they were. And I'm not really like a wood fire person myself. I mean, I am on select occasions, but it's not like my everyday scent, but I know that there are people out there who really are. So I felt like we had to do one, but a lot of the other wood fire scents I had smelled almost smelled like ashy or were so sort of astringently woody. I really wanted to have like a little bit of a spice and maybe like a tiny bit of underlying sweetness to it, which like doesn't really make sense with campfire, but it just takes that sharp woody edge, smoky edge off. And so we worked with a wonderful young female perfumer, Gabriella Chalriou from Firmenich, and she created Kindling, which it's not our number one scent, but people are very committed to it.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
She nailed it.
Yeah. I am a fan of the fireplacey type scents.
Yes.
And I noticed that a number of them kind of smell like they go really hard on the log or the woody notes, and it almost smells like something is burning in a bad way.
Something is actually on fire.
There are times when I've lit it and it kind of forgotten it, then I'm like, is something burning in my house? And I'm like, oh, it's that candle.
Exactly. So like we didn't want that. We wanted it to still have like, I think there's some incense embers in there, and it's the Alaskan cedar and oud as well. And so it adds a little bit of complexity beyond just that burning log. And I think she did a really beautiful job with it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Definitely.
We got in touch for a birdie piece last year when you guys did like the nostalgia of the 90s collection.
Yes.
But we were not working from home at the time, and I missed the 90s mailer, and I still think about the what was called Gloss Pop.
Gloss Pop. Oh,
if
my
you
gosh.
Have if yes. you have any of those lying around, I will do
we
anything.
Have, for one, we have a couple of them, I think, in Dumbo. So I will haul one. So my hairdresser loves Gloss Pop. So I always have to bring one for her. So we'll dig into her stash. But yeah, Gloss Pop. Well, so the 90s collection was like so fun. I've been dreaming about this for a long time. Had a really hard time cutting down to just 3 cents for it. But Gloss Pop was, I'm trying to remember how we, the scent notes we used. It's strawberry gloss, hard candy, and frosted rose. So it was like, there's definitely like a little bit of, I guess a lot of people say strawberry lip smackers, but pretty much like any lip gloss you had from the 90s was either like a little bit rose or like this sort of candied strawberry.
Definitely.
So it's a lot of that. And then I really liked, I mean, we needed to let people know that this one does have sweetness to it because most of our scents don't. So having that hard candy part, but that made me think about hard candy nail polish and how like so cool those were. And, you know, your friends, older sisters had them, and you got the rings, and then you took the rings off and you lost them. They were less cute. And that whole thing. So that was just such a fun walk down memory lane. And the two others, we had Dreamlight, which was freesia, plumeria, and I can't remember the last note, but that was very much inspired by Gap Dream, which was, did you smell that one?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, I did not, but we both have
Gap Dreams.
You do?
Mm-hmm. They're still available. Yeah. No one knows.
So like the new, because I saw on eBay they had like a new body splash that was Dream. Is that, do you have that one or do you have like the old one?
I have the new ones.
We have the like the eau de toilettes and like the updated bottle, but they're still available. They're just the outlets.
Yeah, they only sell them at the Gap outlets.
Which like no one knows.
Is there an outlet online or do you have to go to like an outlet?
No, you like have to go to the outlet.
Man.
I know.
Yeah.
I got to do that.
And I think the closest one is like way upstate at
you need a rental car. Is it
Woodbury Common?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
It's like a 2-hour drive. But
that's so funny that you have it. So you, okay. So you remember like Heaven and Dream. And
yes, absolutely.
Ulm was the other one.
Mm-hmm. So Pink.
So Pink. Oh, yes. And So Pink.
And Grass. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. So yeah, Dreamlight was very Dream inspired. And then the last one was Blue Jean Baby, which was sort of like a ultra faded blue jeans. So think, I can't remember the exact scent notes, washed cotton, mimosa flower. And so sort of thinking about your like white baby tee, these perfect acid washed jeans that fit in just the right way. And so I think getting into some of these, you know, linen is sort of such a classic scent, but it's a little boring. So adding this mimosa flower that can almost, it can feel a little baby powdery, but then we added the skin musks. So I think, you know, Glossier You has definitely been a big hit. And the perfumer, Frank Vogel, we work with on a lot of our scents. But I think, which is great.
Very cool.
But so I think with that scent in particular, they really brought to the forefront this idea of skin and bringing skin musk into it. So we added a lot of those into Blue Jean Baby to kind of take that back with the concept there.
That's so cool. What a great summation of the way that the 90s smelled, you know?
Yes. I had to, you know, pick something. I don't know. Do you guys have any other 90s smells that come to mind? I'm trying to remember some of my other memorable ones. We like Noxzema.
Yes. I talk about Noxzema like more than I should.
Saint Ives, Scrub.
Oh, yes. Apricot.
Yes. Yeah. The Herbal Essences shampoo for sure. Like
Lucky You.
CK1.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And what, Tommy Girl.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, there were so many. And even things like the plastic smell of my inflatable furniture.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of.
The Spencer's store at the mall.
Yeah.
That just smelled like vinyl and plastic.
Exactly.
Pleather.
Yeah. So, such a fun one.
Can you talk a little bit about how you said you work with a different artist for each collection? I think that's really interesting.
Yes. So, you know, I really wanted to. It initially came from both my passion for art and this need to express a different story and message with each collection, and really seeing a candle as this consumable experience. It could be anything we want it to be, but how do we make that come to life? And in developing our packaging, having all sorts of surfaces for artwork and the story to play out. And the other part of it was seeing things like sneaker culture and these different limited edition drops and thinking, you know, I think this could be so cool if we bring this art element into candles and sort of make it a special thing like that. And very limited edition. So each collection, as I said, has a different artist. Some of the collections are sort of recurring, so seasonal. So they come back every year. And we've got some headliner marquee scents that we've really built equity in, like Fallen Fur for our Gilded Holiday collection. We've also done some artist really branded editions. So do you know Amber Vittoria at all?
That name sounds familiar.
So she was an up and coming artist. I guess when we met her, she's now totally blown up and has gotten just amazing national, international recognition. But she's in New York and is really a feminist artist. And she illustrates these big, bold, beautiful women with lots of body hair, ornamental body hair. And so we partnered with her. And we had a scent that came out around International Women's Day and Women's Month. And the scent was inspired by really her grandmother's garden. And that was a place that she had so many memories with her grandmother and also reminded me of my mom. And that really led to this conversation on floral scents and how they often remind us of the important women in our lives and the stories about them. And so the candle featured her artwork, the box, she signed limited edition prints, and we were able to really share the story of Amber, of her creative process, of the scent development process with the world. And it's a very different approach than just, you know, this is a rose candle. It's really about the story and building community.
And on that same sort of design aspect, can you talk a little bit about your packaging? Because I feel, you know, I kept seeing like the unboxings on Instagram, and then I got one myself and I was like, oh, they're like not joking around. The whole design of the actual secondary itself is really, really like experiential, as is almost as the scents.
Thank you. Yes. So when thinking about starting a candle brand, and of course, people said to me, there are literally thousands and thousands of candle brands out there. The world does not need another candle brand. You know, how are you going to be different? And I felt so strongly that we could be different, and that part of it would come from the actual product and the packaging, and that the packaging does matter for a candle, especially with all the gifting that happens with candles. You're also, I mean, you're treating yourself. It's not functional in the way of you're buying skincare and it's going to, you know, treat your brown spots or what have you. It's really a treat for you to enjoy as part of your life. And so wanting it to feel just having all these layers of discovery as you open it and very careful and considered. And I think the opposite of, you know, the time we were talking a lot about Amazon's 30-second frustration-free packaging. You have to be able to get into the box in 30 seconds or less without scissors. And it's really the opposite of that. So sort of carefully unfolding and so forth, and a real experience, as well as Instagram bait. And we knew that that needed to be a channel where our brand would grow, and that this idea of expressing scent and scent collections through artwork and visuals that could take place in the box was really appealing. So that was a big area that we invested in. And there is, of course, the actual challenge, which is a bigger challenge than you might think, of safely getting a glass jar filled with wax to people's homes. And, you know, you can only imagine what the mail carriers do to get it there. It's harder than you'd think to protect it. So it both had to be functional and for a few different purposes.
Right.
I feel like fragrance products, candles especially, they have to do so much more song and dance just to get people to purchase them, because with perfume, you can wear it. You can take it with you. Yeah. Candles, you can't. They just stay in one space. And I mean, there are travel candles, but that just boggles my mind, because I'm like, the wax is drippy. What are you going to do with that?
I know.
But there is, like, people want that experience.
Travel candles are an interesting topic. It's sort of a hot topic over here, if you will.
Really?
Well, because people ask us about travel candles all the time. You know, a little one of your favorite scent to make it feel like home when you're on the road. But we also just have continually heard feedback from our customers that the strength of the scent throw is so important to them that I just don't think you would have a positive fragrance experience from a votive. And so we've been really, you know, to do our research for new product development. Right now we're looking at what are the other votives on the market? What did the reviews say about them? And we are seeing a lot of complaints about the scent throw. So we're sort of looking at it, but
is it not the same wax? Is it just not? Is it not the same wax? It's just put in a smaller vessel.
It's the same wax. It's just in a smaller vessel, but the smaller surface area, the diameter of the opening, that's what determines the wax pool and the scent throw a lot of it.
Oh wow!
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think of other candles that have an insane... The only thing I can think of is like Nest fragrances.
Oh, God.
Their candles have an insane throw to the point where you don't even have to light them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too much, dare I say.
Right? So that's like the balance like we have to hit is like we usage behavior is so important. And so we spent a lot of time thinking, how can we get people to not only buy our candles, but to like keep burning them and burn them a lot? And, you know, is it too pretty or collectible that you're afraid to burn it because you're saving it? So there are a variety of factors that we're trying to think about.
It's so interesting, yeah. The engineering aspects of a candle.
I know. Oh my gosh. I learned how to make candles in, gosh, I guess it was 2015. And Sayed, my boyfriend who became my co-founder, we were living in this 250 square foot, 6-floor walk-up, and
it's New York, baby.
New York. And we were students, and so lucky for him, I turned the entire kitchen into a laboratory, and I bought all of these fragrances from, you know, candlescience.com and different wax types, and I just started sort of mixing things. And I actually had a candle making party for some friends from school.
That's cute.
Right. So I thought a candle making party actually sounded a little too cute. So I called it a candle making and flavor tripping party. Have you heard of flavor tripping?
No.
No.
Oh my gosh. This is like a fun COVID activity. You guys should do this. So there's this thing called Miracle Berry, which sounds suspicious.
I have heard of that.
It sounds suspicious, yeah. But it's this, I guess, berry in Africa, and it somehow binds to your taste bud receptors for a limited period of time. But everything that's sour tastes like the sweetest candy you can imagine. So like lemons are just like so candied and delicious. What else? Blue cheese like tastes like frosting.
What?
And I'm trying to remember. So you can order them from Amazon. It's a tablet, but it's like,
I want to do that.
I know. Now I'm like, maybe I should do this again.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to be careful. You can't have too many lemon slices or your teeth will fall out or something. But
yeah.
So I thought candle making party sounded a little tame. So we made candles, and then we decorated them with stickers, then we did the flavor tripping. So it was fun, but that was through that process of learning to make candles, I thought one wick fits all, and it's absolutely not the case. There are hundreds of wicks. And so, we have to do weeks of burn testing to try out different wicks. So it's all about the different braid of the fibers, the thickness of the fibers, and if, you know, there are more natural molecules in your fragrance that needs a little more space to travel up the wick. So it's very scientific.
Wow. That's crazy.
This fascinates me about candles. Yes. So you put so much thought into this, and then people just like burn it.
You know, right? And no idea.
Just light it on fire.
Exactly.
So to increase the throw of a candle, is it the concentration of a fragrance oil that does it, or is it something else?
So it's a lot of things. So it's definitely the fragrance oil, the juice, which is the most expensive ingredient in a candle. And that's part of why a lot of brands skimp on it. So typically you'll see between 5-7% in a candle. It's also the wax. So the way the chemical formula of the waxes and sort of the way that the molecules bond to the fragrance is also important. And then the last thing in addition to the wick would really be the diameter of the vessel. So the larger diameter, the larger the melt pool can be and let the fragrance evaporate from.
I never put any thought into any of that. I just think like it's a strong candle or it's not.
Or it's not. And you know, there are things, so there's the cold throw and the hot throw. And so for us, we're mainly direct to consumer at the moment. But if you're buying a candle in a store and there's a tester, that cold throw at the point of purchase is so important.
Just when you like stick your nose in it.
Exactly. Yeah. So you've got to make sure all of these things are in sync. And if you burn your candle for too long, you may not have as strong of a throw on the next burn. So you've got to keep it to 3-4 hours. Yeah.
Why is that?
So it has to do with the melt point of the wax. And so each wax has its own melt point. And so like soy wax is like pretty high, and that's why it's really mm-hmm. like a hard wax. Something like paraffin is more creamy. Coconut is, you know, you probably know from using coconut oil at home is pretty low. So for us, because we have coconut in our wax blend, that brings the melt point down a bit. So, you know, it's different for every wax, but you don't want to have like too much liquefied in the jar. And then I think sort of the fragrance can maybe separate a bit, but it's all a science there. So 3 to 4 wow. hours is recommended.
That's good to know, because I just like leave them going.
Oh yeah. You can't do
like
that
all day.
And it's also for trimming your wick. After 3 to 4 hours, you have to trim the wick.
I do usually trim the wick after each.
That's so good.
Because it gets those like popcorn bits.
The little
on it.
Mushroomy parts, but it's essential. Yeah. So many people mm-hmm. just like will light the mushroomy wick. And it drives me crazy. And it
just like makes an inferno on top. And I'm it just seems dangerous to me.
It's totally dangerous. Like and that's how soot is created, when a little piece of carbon sort of is sticking out from that. But it's not safe. It's not you know, proper candle etiquette. But you know, it is really for safety. I think that people need to be more vocal about these rules.
I've read that an unattended candle can pop and basically just like spray sparks.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
there are people, and I wonder, I'm like, is that on the candle, or is that just like a ghost, like a poltergeist?
I know it's doing that.
But like a couple people have said that.
I've seen that it sends sparks. Wow.
Yeah. So they're like, don't leave candles unattended, which I'm like, you shouldn't do that anyway.
Right.
Now I definitely
People
won't.
Also do that all the time too. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I've done it on accident like once or twice and I've like come home and everything's fine, but I'm like, it smells really great in here. I'm like, oh my God, I left a candle on.
No, it's very, very bad. Don't do it, everyone.
Right. So correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like the Otherland release schedule sort of mirrors that of like a fashion company, in that you release collections, right? Mm-hmm. Of maybe 3 to 6 scents per, I don't know, I don't want to say season, but per launch.
Yeah.
How do you approach a new collection? Like, how do you know what concept to run with and how many candles to do, et cetera?
Okay, so great question. And we're still definitely figuring a lot of that out still. In terms of how I come up with different collections, well, so in this particular business, seasonality is a big thing. And in the fall, like, you want those fall scents, those cozy scents, woody scents around the holidays. People want Christmas. They want those Christmas nostalgic scents. Yeah. You know, no matter what we do, they go for that. Yeah. The balsam fir and so forth. And in spring, more florals. I mean, I guess florals are a little bit more year round, but there is the seasonality that we have to lean into. And so that's sort of like the backdrop of thinking about scent creation and how can we tell these stories and narratives that have a seasonal edge to them and make them interesting and something that feels fresh and new and exciting. And we really started with 3 scents per collection and then have recently expanded a couple collections. And then we do have you're the first to hear about this. We do mm-hmm. have a new collection that's coming that will be 6 scents coming later this spring. And so, yeah, the process is, a lot of it is, you know, I'm sort of constantly being inspired, seeking inspiration, pinning, clipping, saving things that I'm into. And that could be the sort of 80s neon aesthetic, plasticine architecture, but also some sort of really geometric forms in sort of a pop art kind of way. That led to, for our Beach Club collection, finding this artist who worked in architectural rendering software to create these really cool mod sort of futurist environments that also sort of look back at design trends of like the 80s and 90s. And so there's, you know, I think what's awesome about Otherland is that it was really important that each collection sort of be this consumable capsule, and that knowing my tastes are going to evolve and the brand is going to evolve in that way, and have an opportunity to sort of constantly change to be in the zeitgeist and with the sense that makes sense for us and that we're excited about. So yeah, so I usually start from personal memories when I'm coming up with first the fragrance creative brief. And so it could be something like Matchpoint, which is the tennis ball scent, to another scent from the Beach Club collection is called Stone Fruit. And so I had memories of this Nantucket beach plum jam. We would visit Nantucket when I was a kid, and the way home near the ferry in the Historical Society Museum shop, my mom would buy two jars of this beach plum jam. And she would, we'd have one for now, and she would save one in the very back of the tallest cupboard. She'd put it back there and she'd save it for right about right now in the dead of winter to pop open that seal and put a little on her tongue, and she'd close her eyes and remember the summer in a very dramatic fashion. And so I had those memories, and the perfumer Clément Gavery from Firmenich, he had his own memories of his mother making fresh peach confiture in the summers in France. And so he really combined those two to create Stone Fruit. And that's where I learned it's really not about replicating exactly how you remember a certain scent or experience, but about reinterpreting it. And so I think that's just so cool. And in learning about the fragrance olfactive development process, I mean, I had a really sort of broad art and visual vocabulary, but in terms of describing scent, certainly at the beginning, I was completely lost. And that was something I really struggled with for a long time. And sort of the way I coped with it at first would be I bought lots of scents from the market that I liked or disliked. And I got these little sort of teeny tiny lip balm jars, and I would pack the wax in there. And so I could take it to a meeting and say, I like this, but not this. So it was a really,
that's smart.
At first, I mean, it was really hard to communicate. So,
yeah, I think scent is one of those things that vocabulary just can't quite grasp.
Not for us mere mortals, for the perfumers out there, and they do so much, you know, training for this. And I know that there are words for specific things, and, you know, I'm sure sommeliers as well have more of the skill, but it's really hard, but you can learn. So we start with an olfactive creative brief. Often I do include images and mood inspiration. And then from that, once we have the scents figured out more or less, you know, we usually have several rounds of mods and different revisions or directions, and some make it and don't make it. From there, really figuring out who the artist is going to be. And so I definitely scout on Instagram, and that has primarily been the way that we've found the artists that we've worked with. So we reach out to them and then begin our art direction process. So they're definitely, it's cool that we've got sort of these two really important the expressive visual design and the fine fragrance perfumery to create, I guess, what we like to call modern olfactive design.
I'm so curious, what is a brief like when you want to create a new candle? How do you prepare a brief for these big time perfumers?
Yeah, like how do you explain a scent, what you want a scent to be, without like what are your references?
So I'm a person who, in sort of pinning and saving and bookmarking all these ideas and visual inspiration, one of the hardest things for me to do is to edit that down to one page with 10 or fewer images. It's a process. So I think really starting with either the descriptive experience that I'm imagining, and it could It could be one without a scent memory, but more of a sort of painting a picture of a place or so forth. It could be things like ingredients. So right now we're working on some new scents for fall. And so I've got some ingredients that I've been excited about. I can tell you these. So I haven't smelled any scents yet, but things like brown butter or even that chili crisp, which I feel like I've been inhaling this year, or toasted sesame. So trying to think of some new angles to sort of to take the classic fall woody, spicy. So yeah, I just have to force myself to cut down the images and send it out.
Once you have a brief prepared, is it kind of like a bidding process where you pitch it to fragrance houses and then they come back to you with what they're going to do and then you select what perfumer you want to work with?
I would say we're not quite at that point yet. So we just have really close relationships with our two fragrance houses. I think that there are, you know, incredibly talented perfumers at both. And so we'd sort of rather fully give a collection or three specific scents to one rather than the other and have them sort of be competing. So yeah, so we just deliver the brief to one house. We'll receive that. And then yeah, they submit different ideas.
That's so cool.
Oh, very cool.
It's like the most fun is to go to your first submission meeting.
What makes an Otherland scent? And maybe conversely, like, what would you never put in a fragrance? I don't know, like, what's which lane is the easiest way to answer that question, but
So I think to be an Otherland fragrance, we are looking for those scents that come from memories, experiences, and that really lend themselves well to being complex and layered and nuanced and really not being that like one note rose and so forth. I think in terms of what would an Otherland candle scent never be? I mean, interestingly, one thing that I've learned a lot about as I've really delved into the fragrance industry is that some of the best-selling fragrances of all time are the most polarizing. And I learned this while it was early on in the development process for the core collection. And, you know, this is my first time working with a fragrance house to create any scents. The core collection, I guess, was supposed to be a little bit more, you know, year-round, a little safer, but, you know, how avant-garde can I get here? And is that okay? And should I push it? Does it make it more interesting or does it just seem weird? And I think what I was reading about was Angel by
Terry Meagler.
Yeah, so it's one of the best-selling scents of all time. I think it's number three, but people absolutely hated it. For the first 4 years, I think, after it came out, it was the worst performing fragrance. Nobody bought it. And it's very sweet, but it's got a strong perspective and it's unique. So that gave me some confidence to try some more unusual scents like Match Point, even our chandelier scent of our core collection, which is champagne, saffron, and leather. Seeing the success of that sort of initially made me feel more confident that we could try more interesting ones. So, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We have a candle in our Spring Awakening collection called Ruby Root, which is sugar, beets, grass, and ginger. So it really smells like beets and kind of root vegetables and dirt and earth. And that's a little bit out there for some people. It was a little harder to sell a beet candle than I thought. But, you know, there are people who love it. So that was definitely a learning for me and something that, you know, I think we feel pretty good about is so pushing ourselves to not just, you know, play it safe, but trying weird, interesting, unusual fragrances that maybe don't smell quite right to you at first, or that you might need a little bit of time with or to warm up with, and taking some interesting approaches, you know, maybe chili crisp. So we'll see, but it's part of the process that I think is really cool.
When you have a brand that deals with seasonal collections and limited edition scents. How do you define success with a candle? Is it that initial purchase or is it that second replenishment? And sorry if that's boring.
No, this is a great question. So yeah, what we really care about is our repeat purchasing. So is the customer coming back how many times in 60 days, 90 days, 180 days, 365? And so success for me is absolutely is the repeat purchasing. And that's a metric that we really hold ourselves to and keep pushing. And I think with our model of these collection drops, it really has set us up well for having that re-engagement. It gives us something to talk to our customer about. It's sort of this chit chat throughout the year that you've got to do with them through email and social and so forth. But it's a great excuse to re-engage and to keep with our model.
Nice.
I didn't realize you guys only launched in 2017, which it's not that long ago, but obviously it feels a lot longer now just because 2020 was like 20 years.
10 years.
But do you think that quarantine and the pandemic, like, did you notice a big change in candle buying?
Yes, definitely. We noticed, I mean, pretty quickly in March, we did have an uptick in sales. And meanwhile, you know, it was such a heartbreaking time and you know, just so upsetting what was happening in New York, as you well know. And we did have an uptick in sales and we couldn't get more inventory. And so we actually, our customers kept DMing us asking if we had any holiday scents left, which I thought was totally bizarre, but then realized that for so many people, holiday scents, like, it's comfort, it's nostalgia, it's these feel-good scents of the past. So we actually had a little bit of holiday inventory left over from last winter. And so we called it our first ever season swap. So we basically had sold out of all of our spring and core, couldn't get new inventory, everything was shut down. So we called it, the first ever season swap, and we made holiday available for 4 days. And it was our best 4 days of sales outside of Black Friday.
Wow.
Wild.
Damn.
So yeah, I mean, I think that at this time, you know, candles have provided people something to look forward to, you know, in the mail and then just lifting your spirits every day, or providing a little bit of ritual or escapism that we all, you know, just need. And it's that feel good moment of striking the match and taking your first whiff of the scent. I think that our emphasis on the surprise and delight element of the packaging just has meant a lot too. And we actually saw a big uptick in gifting. So people sending a sweet bit of sunshine across the country to people who were affected, or people, friends and family that they couldn't see. And that gifting trend has really continued. Our gifting numbers are sort of still up, even post holiday. So yeah, I mean, I think the candle burning behavior is definitely up. Conversely, you may have seen somebody on Twitter wrote about how scented people were having trouble smelling candles. Did you see this?
You mean like because they lost their sense of smell,
or
because
someone looked at, you know, and I'm not sure how scientific this was, reviews of scented candles on Amazon, and they seemed to think that there was a negative trend in scented candle reviews post the beginning of COVID. And they were suggesting it was because either people had COVID undiagnosed or had lingering effects of COVID or what have you. Who knows? But the candle sales continue to be strong. And I think accelerated the trend of buying direct to consumer and getting comfortable buying a candle and a scent online, something for certain people they never expected to do.
Oh.
I remember we were talking to fragrance trend forecasters, and they were saying how they believe that after this pandemic, everybody is going to gravitate towards comforting, homey, nostalgic smells.
Totally.
and that's going to be it.
But and I mean, the pandemic has accelerated that trend. Like, this was happening way before COVID. And yeah. you remember Hygge, H-Y-G-G-E, that yes, Danish yes, yeah. art of coziness. This, yeah. You know, it was 3 or 4 yeah. years ago that started to come into our, you know, our vernacular.
That's right.
So Hygge yes. and creating your sanctuary and your cozy corner and so forth, for sure. I mean, one thing that we're pretty big on would be, I can't remember if I mentioned this, our bestseller in the fall, our real fall hero scent is called Cardamom Milk. And so it's frothy milk, cardamom, and praline woods. I guess it's our elegant alternative to pumpkin spice. So it's frothy milk. It's got these sort of almondy notes, but the spicy notes, but very right. lightly sweet. And it's beautiful. It was created by a master perfumer, Honorine Blanc, which was like a big...
She's like big yeah. time. She's
big yeah. time.
Yeah, she's real up
she's
there.
She's really up there. And so... It was just such a magical scent when I first smelled it and just knew we needed it. We needed to say yes to that one. No modifications were done on cardamom milk. And so that's been, you know, an enormous success for us. But I think that frothy milk is really quite interesting. And whether it's maybe it's a steamed rice milk or almond milk or coconut milk or regular milk. I think milk brings these sort of warm, maternal, sort of comforting feelings. And I think that could continue to be big. So that's my prediction.
That's so funny you say that because Marc Jacobs Perfect, one of the main notes in it is almond milk. And it does add this like warm, smooth texture to it. It's really nice, but unexpected.
Yes, exactly. So I think we're definitely going to see more in that department.
For that same like almond or like frothy milk tip, is there a note that you find throughout the Otherland collection or a note that you know that your consumer always will go nuts for? Because we were talking to Bath & Body Works and they said that they will always have a coconut in every collection in their core and their seasonal because everyone loves a coconut. Does Otherland have your version of that sort of note that will always find a place?
Well, I think sandalwood has continued to be so big. And, you know, I think it's really the influence of Frank Vogel behind Le Labo. And he has done also a sandalwood for us in a few other scents. Sandalwood just has so much appeal as this, you know, I thought of myself, I'm really not a woody scent person. It's just not me. I like a more dramatic floral or, you know, it could be a little gourmand or fresh or what have you. But wood is just not really for me, maybe too dark and deep. But sandalwood, it's just very chill. It's gender neutral. It is woody, but without that astringent, cedary quality that I'm often turned off by. And I think that there could be, so we've done a couple scents with sandalwood. I wouldn't say it has a place in all of our scents, but we are trying sort of some new iterations. So we've got, rattan, which is our number one bestseller. So it's sandalwood, golden amber, and warm musk, a vegan musk. And then dappled wood was sort of a riff off of that, which is sandalwood, toasted walnut. And the toasted walnut is really, really interesting and nice next to it. It's, you know, it's slightly gourmand, but has like a beautiful spicy warmth to it. So I think we're going to play around with that a little bit in the future. So we'll see. But I wouldn't say there's like one overarching scent that will be that kind of fits in every collection.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like woody scents, it's kind of like everyone's introduction into gender neutral fragrances.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because it can go both ways depending on what it's paired
totally.
With. So when people realize that's the anchor, then they're like, oh, I really like sandalwood.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Something about candles that I always find a little confusing because I'm not sure if it's the same as like with the beauty industry is when people say candles are clean. What does that mean exactly for candles and why is that important?
Yeah. So clean, you know, is it's been such a big trend and focus for consumers for skincare and makeup and other products. And it was a big question around what does that mean for us? And since you're not applying a product to your skin or ingesting it, you know, how do we decide what feels right and most thoughtful for us? And so, you know, we're cruelty-free and vegan, which is really important to our customer. We're also phthalate and paraben-free. And then, you know, you often hear people say, oh, we use 100% cotton wicks, or our wicks are lead-free. Well, wicks have been banned since 1984, so everybody's wicks are lead-free unless you're buying a really old candle.
I'm going to say, I'm like, that sounds toxic, aren't they?
I know. So yes, our wicks, just like everybody else's wicks, are lead-free. And then we actually have, it's a whole list of 55 other ingredients that are not in our candles, but the customer doesn't, you know, you have to decide how many of these do you outwardly market as free. So we modified to one of the Sephora clean standards. And so the ones that we really talk to our customers most about are no parabens, no phthalates, vegan, cruelty free. You know, you could say sulfate free, but sulfates are really lathering agents. Yeah. So it wouldn't be in a candle anyway, but a lot of people might not realize that. So we're also sulfate free, but it's a big question and around education. But, you know, I think that our homes should be non-toxic. And if you're subscribing to clean beauty standards that, you know, why don't we just go for it and use one of the standards to create our ingredients for.
Yeah, I think that's something that'll probably become even more investigated in the near future because everyone's staying home. So they're like, I'm burning all this stuff in my home and inhaling it. Yeah. And we just went through a pandemic that attacks your respiratory system. So maybe I should be mindful of, you know, what I'm inhaling in my home.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the conversation hasn't extended more so to the products we use to clean our homes.
I mean, you totally have to be careful with all of that stuff. I think the most important thing, you know, with candles, which are safe and lots of research has been done.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pseudoscience out there. But I think trimming your wick is so important, and because that's how you can totally prevent soot from forming. So keeping that trimmed is really important, and using clean burning candles as well.
Yes.
So now we know, trim the wick.
You have to trim your wick.
Don't fuck around with this.
Moral of the story. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I should probably go blow out the candle that's been burning for 6 hours in my living room.
Since Thursday.
Yeah, she like said that and I was like, oh no. It's been burning since this morning.
I will say that I really never leave a candle going for like more than an hour.
Really?
To max. Yeah, because I'm just like, I live in a shoebox. What's done is done.
I always think I'm supposed to let it burn until the entire surface is liquid.
Okay, also that. Yeah, since our Tikal episode, I've started tenting my candles. Or what the fuck do you call them? Doming your candles, you know, with tinfoil.
Tenting. No, I think that's right. Yeah. Tunneling.
No, that's what they do if you don't.
No. Oh, right.
That has significantly helped the candles not tunnel.
But then they don't release the fragrance. You don't think? Because it has like a cover.
I mean, this is what...
Well, maybe I'm putting on the hat too tight.
Well, like I said, the scent doesn't have far to go, so...
Fair enough.
That was fascinating. I have had that clean candle question in my mind for a while.
I always wonder that because they're like, no parabens. And I'm like, you're not putting it on your skin.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, you know how I feel about clean beauty, but also you made the point, not this episode, but a while ago, you're like, well, you are burning something and getting it into the air in your house and breathing it in. I was like, maybe you should have a point. I hate being wrong.
But I think I'm going to like eat my words one day, but like, I'm sure there's research about inhaling scented candles and if it does anything to your respiratory system, and I don't know if it does. And even if it did, people smoke cigarettes and live very long lives, so
that's true.
Yeah, I'm like, you could smoke way harsher stuff than a candle burning several feet away from you, you know? Yeah. Even if it was releasing something, like how far would it have to go in the air to get to your, I don't know, but I'm just going to keep burning my candles and enjoying life because...
You know what? If I drop dead in 2027 because I burned a candle,
yeah,
like, I'm at peace with that.
Let me be the canary.
Do you ever feel like your clothes smell like the candle after you've burned them, or am I just a psychopath?
I feel like that could happen, probably. Well, that's like more bang for your buck.
That is true.
That was really cool. I really appreciated all the candle chemistry that I previously had no idea about. Also, it's kind of like funny to be like, the guy who made Glossier You in Sandal 33 made this candle.
If we could get through an episode without someone other than us bringing up Glossier You or Sandal 33, that would be a miracle.
I know. It's almost like when you have, it's like someone you haven't met, but all of your friends know, and they're like, oh, you know Frank, right? Anyway, so I was like hanging with Frank the other day, and you're just like, I've never met Frank, but everyone talks about Frank.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you would love him. It's like, no, I wouldn't.
I don't know him. You know what? We'll see. Maybe we'll chat him up.
We're
going
to have to get him on the goddamn show.
I guess we will.
Can you imagine that episode? Me just not saying a word the entire time.
You're just being very curt and like...
Well, we're going to pitch him, but we'll be like, please don't listen to any of the episodes. your two biggest fragrances, one of the two hosts talks incessant shit about. Yes. Whatever, he's doing fine. I have not heard the sales of Glossier You.
They're fine. God. Their multi-billion dollar valuation is intact. Yeah. I don't think they're growing anywhere.
Do you want to smell like the perfect place to hide a dead body? Glossier You. Anyway.
God, what a like macabre way to interpret. The last ingredient is you.
You know what? More power to everyone who wears it. I genuinely mean that.
Truly. I mean, one life to live, man. Just enjoy your shit.
Exactly. We're not here to shame. But we are here to tell you to leave us 5 stars and a review. Always. Or whatever. You know, I'll meet you halfway. Just leave us 5 stars. That's all we need.
Yeah. One or the other. You can't do one without the other.
Also, follow me on Instagram at TynanBuck. It is Valentine's Day season and I'm at my most powerful. So
truly, the editorial spread is stunning. God, I just applaud how hard you go at Valentine's Day.
I fucking love Valentine's Day, dude.
You do.
I'm so happy. Just around this time of year. It's so great.
I am at Sabletooth Tigra on Instagram, and you can follow Smiley Later at smileylater.mp3.
Send us a DM or whatever. Answer our Tuesday question. We have a lot of fun. And until next time, we will smell you later.